lw.org.
Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. This week...
is wrong. Disgusting. The woman kissing on the woman. I live under. What you think I hear at night? That's right. Nothing. No icky icky bouncing on the bed like Jesus wants us. Just quiet. For many years I have this building. Since my husband dies, God rest his soul, I'm thinking, oh, it's a nice tenant. It's a nice, pretty Canadian lady. She have a nice little pussycat. Always pay rent. No problem. And then she comes. The English. And she is loud. She talks a lot. Often she's coming home late. They're fighting. And then quiet. So quiet. You know what I have think about in all this quiet? The woman kissing on the woman. And the licking and the tickle and the penis on the belt. They all have this, you know. The penis on the belt. I learned this on the Canadian radio. On the showcase television. The Fridays without the borders. I'm thinking, oh, it's a nice show about immigrants. It's not about immigrants. It's about the penis on the belt. I'm so shocked I must watch entire episode for understanding. And this I have think about all night because of quiet. And so I cannot sleep. But then last night, a lots of shouting, the English shouting. And the nice lady crying and crying and still crying. I'm thinking maybe I should go up and see if she's okay. Then I am thinking, no. No, I leave her be.
That's Maura Halloran as the landlady in her play Pussy at the New Conservatory Theater Center in San Francisco now through November 30th. Maura, thanks for that and for joining us again on Out in the Bay Radio. Maura was with us in 2012 when Pussy premiered in San Francisco's Diva Fest, a festival of theater works by women. I saw Pussy then, really enjoyed it, and saw it again at NCTC opening last Friday. It felt just as fresh, if not fresher. It's fun, it's polished. And by the way, Pussy's characters are a cat, a lesbian couple whose romance is on the rocks, and the threesome's vaguely homophobic but apparently curious landlady, who we just heard from. So stick around to hear from the other characters. It's full of laughs, some serious reflections also on the nature of love, relationships, religion, faith, fidelity, and honesty. After its Diva Fest premiere in 2012, Pussy has gone on to please audiences at Seattle's and New York's Fringe Festivals, New York's prestigious United Solo Theater Festival, where Maura won Best Actress honors, and most recently the On Festival in London. Congratulations, Maura, for the Best Actress honors.
Thank you.
And what is the On Festival? O-N.
It's the So-and-So On Festival, and it was a festival put on by the So-and-So Arts Club in London. And I met Sarah Berger, who is the artistic director there when I was in New York for one of the festivals. And she invited me over for this inaugural festival that they were doing over there.
Ah, so it's a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
It was the first edition of it.
Mm-hmm. So you wrote and play all three of the women characters, as well as the cat, who says plenty without uttering a single word, not even a meow.
It's true.
What is the genesis of this play? What's it based on, or who is it based on? Real people?
It was originally based on what I thought was a hilarious situation of a lesbian couple that I knew who had this cat that just loved one of them and just hunted the other as prey, just hated the other girl. And I thought that was a great comic setup for a little story. And it just sort of took on a life of its own, and the characters took on a life of their own, and sort of expanded the situation from there.
So what, if anything, does it say to you about the nature of relationships? And, you know, is it to what extent all human relationships as opposed to just lesbian relationships?
Well, what I really set out to explore was playing both sides of a couple, and the cat, obviously, but And I wanted to invert the course of the usual love story that we hear all the time, the usual course of a romance where people are falling in love, and just look at a couple that that are at the other end of that type of history.
The honeymoon is long past.
The honeymoon is over, and we're sort of starting with an ending and seeing what's possible and how we can sort of learn to re-see ourselves and what we need in a relationship and the sort of narratives we're carrying around with ourselves from being in a relationship. And maybe the things that other people see in our relationship that that we haven't quite put together for ourselves. So that's why there's sort of the watcher in the woods character who's narrating to the audience the sort of omniscient side of things, the truer side of things, although she does have her own filter for
talk
events.
About the landlady or the cat?
Both. I guess they're both. They both have opinions from the outside.
So do you have another? Oh, let's meet the other characters. Who would you like to who would you like to introduce us to next?
Sure. Why don't we talk to Joe next? Joe is the British lady.
The English.
The English. Leslie, despite her very normal internet dating profile, is probably about the least gay lesbian I've ever met. Ultra-conservative, right-wing, Christian, and gay. Explain that. Gay conservative. I mean, you've heard they exist, you've seen them on television, but you never expect to meet one in real life. It's like finding a unicorn. I've told her that. Leslie, I tell her, do you know what your problem is? You're a unicorn. And just as secretive. I mean, she's not out at work. She's not out at the gym. She only came out at church so we could get free couples counselling. If it wasn't the fact she enjoys activities I can't discuss on public radio so much, I'd seriously suggest she reconsider the whole thing. And that's another thing. She doesn't get queer humour. She insists on referring to this vicious little pet cat of hers as pussy without the least sense of irony. Who's a good pussy? Who's a sweet pussy? Does pussy want a treat? I mean, there I am, standing in the hall, trying to chat up our insanely hot Russian landlady, when my girlfriend pops her head out and asks, you didn't happen to see my pussy pop out when I was in the garden, did you?
The play is full of laughs. You know, it must be hard to do this in a radio studio where nobody's seen you, because you get so much feedback from the laughter, which was pretty constant almost, I would say, during the performances.
Yeah, it's the fun thing about doing a solo show. It's probably the most fun thing, is that the audience becomes a character in the piece. They become a participant in the piece, really. And I really try to relate to them and you know, play to what they're hearing and listen to their timing and their responsiveness and how they're acting as an organism. So, yeah, they're definitely like in the piece for me. They definitely affect how it goes.
That was Maura Halloran as Jo in her play Pussy at New Conservatory Theater Center in San Francisco through November 30th. For show and ticket info, go to nctcsf.org. That's nctcsf.org. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. So, Maura, how did you come up with the name for this play and why? I mean, it's obviously a double entendre, and I want to believe it's more than just a clever marketing ploy, although it probably does pique people's interests.
I think it piques people's interest in it, and it has its own problems as a marketing, in the marketing department, for sure. People are really not sure what to make of it sometimes.
Yeah, you know, in that same category, I just have to say, do you know the musical group, the Kinsey Six? It's America's first drag a cappella beauty shop quartet. They've been around for 20 years, and they're actually having their farewell concert to the original Winnie, Irwin Keller, for those of you in the audience who know him. Irwin Keller's leaving the group. He's one of the originals. Anyway, a couple of years ago, they were doing a show called Each Hit and I. So it was impossible to interview them on the radio. I could not say the name of that show. If you say it quickly, you'll know what I mean. Each Hit and I. Okay. So, yeah, there are some bad marketing ideas, but Pussy has worked for you, apparently.
Pussy has worked. Sometimes it's awkward to, you know, hand the postcard to people, or when my parents' friends ask me what the name of the solo show I keep doing is, there's sort of an awkward drop-in moment. But for the most part, it was always called Pussy. I mean, it was about some lesbians and their cat. I mean, the title just seemed inevitable to me. And no matter how much, you know, when I was first writing it, someone was like, Maura, you can't call your play Pussy. No one's going to come except feminists, you know. I don't know. I can't conceive of any other title for this piece except Pussy. I also think it has the third entendre of being, you know, the kind of a pushover, that with the pejorative way of using pussy, because I think, you know,
which Leslie kind of is,
yeah.
So should we meet Leslie now? Before we meet Leslie, I just have to tell this little story, because at the opening night on Friday, last Friday, the executive director, Barbara Hodgson of New mm-hmm. Conservatory Theater Center, told me that Safeway had this cake, and they got the cake from Safeway, and it said, "Congratulations, Pussy," but they wouldn't write Pussy. The Safeway refused to write Pussy on the cake. You guys had to do it yourselves, or she had to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there, so I've heard all of this secondhand, but apparently the bakery where they ordered the cake from, they showed up, and they had said, "Can you just write Congratulations, Pussy?" They said, "Can you put a cat on the cake?" And there was like a little cat drawn in candy. And they said, can it say, "Congratulations, Pussy?" And they got there and it said, "Congratulations, P-U-S-Y. And they said, "That is not how you spell Pussy." And the bakery said, "Well, we can't put a bad word on the cake. Other customers might see it." So they eventually acquiesced and put Pussy on the cake, but made them take it out in a box.
You know, and they did put it on. Okay.
They did put it on, but they made them carry it out of the store in a box.
It's like getting your dirty magazines in a plain brown wrapper. Yeah. You know, it's kind of too bad, because I had a friend whose younger sister's nickname was Pussy Willow. That's what her parents called her, Pussy Willow, and they shortened it. And of course, by the time she got to third grade, that was the end of that nickname. So, can we take the word back?
I think feminism already has, you know, in a lot of ways.
There's Pussy Riot.
To me, it's not this like super offensive word, but then, you know, it's been sort of interesting doing a totally unscientific survey of how people react to the word pussy in different parts of America. I mean, some dudes won't even take the card. They're just like, "I can't go home with a postcard that says pussy in my pocket." Doesn't matter how big the graphic of the cat is.
So let's go back to meeting Leslie, who is a pushover. That sense of the word, the P word.
Well, I wouldn't say she's completely a pushover, but certainly at the outset, she seems more spineless, perhaps.
Almost uncomfortable. So there are some parts of the play where you're going like, "Oh, this is uncomfortable." Mm-hmm. She's so like, "Do something. Stand up to this woman." The English. Okay, go ahead.
You see, I decided I needed a coach to help me become a better lesbian. I always have trouble saying that word. I mean, I've been a lesbian my whole life. It's just, it wasn't until I met Joe that I realized how complicated it actually is. Joe's always throwing around these terms, butch, and, you know what? Hang on. I made a list. Butch, and lipstick, and crone, and dyke. I don't like that word. It's so sharp, and how does it apply to what we actually do? Then there are all these subtypes of dykes. Pantsuits, and bikers, and gangstas, and punks, and some very unattractive varietal she referred to as John Goodman dykes. It seemed at this point that dyke was just another word for lesbian, but then Joe says there are still lesbians, it's just now you only find them at folk music festivals and universities. And then I guess we're all queer.
And, you know, that's the one that really gets me, because queer means weird, and I don't want to be weird. I just like girls.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She just likes girls.
She just likes girls.
So tell me about, I mean, is this, how much is this character based on your friends that were the original inspiration for this play?
And almost not at all.
Though they've totally, they're not even in there anymore, really.
Really, really not that, not that, that much at all.
And, but
no.
You still haven't spoken to them and told them you're doing this play. Why not?
Well, it'd be, I mean, we're just not in touch anymore, and just be weird. Just be like weird to maybe go back and be like, by the way, remember back when we used to hang out years and years and years ago, and then you inspired me? Yeah. So, because they're long broken up. So,
and this is they lived at the time anyway in Vancouver where you were living then.
Mm-hmm. I was living in Vancouver at that time. Right. Yeah.
And you grew up. You're a Canadian.
Yeah. I am a Canadian.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been touring with this play. It started in San Francisco. Was the first time? Was that? Well, did you perform it in Vancouver as well? I mean, just kind
of
like.
Well, I wrote it at the end of my time at the theater program at the University of British Columbia, and we had to create a solo project, and so it was just a short piece at that time. It was supposed to be 10 minutes, I think. Mm-hmm. I think they let me go a little long on it, but yeah, it was just a short piece, and then at the invitation of Christina Agello at the Exit Theater for her festival Diva Fest, she gave me a slot and invited me to expand the piece. And they were very, very helpful with developmental support, with rehearsal space, and finding me my wonderful director, Claire Rice, and giving me a performance opportunity and, you know, publicity opportunity. And that's how I came to meet you, Eric, and now here we are.
And here we are for the second time. So, speaking of directors, you also have a movement director.
Mm-hmm.
For The Cat. We really haven't met Pussy yet.
I'm not
We've
sure
spoken a lot about
how
her,
Pussy
but,
would play on the radio.
No, Pussy wouldn't play very well on the radio, but
I think the only sound we get from Pussy is licking, and I
get
don't
a
know
bit of licking.
How you're
I don't know how the mic will pick that up.
We should check on that.
Well, you know what we can do is let's play the music that
sure.
is this is at the very beginning of the show before Anna, the landlady, even speaks mm-hmm. about what's going on upstairs.
Yeah, this is the cat's
or downstairs.
Theme.
I was thinking of the theme from the Pink Panther, but it's not that.
No, it's.
So can you kind of describe to us what Pussy is doing as this music is playing?
Sure. Pussy comes in, notices the audience is staring at her, enjoys that. And then she sort of introduces the space, lights the space for them. She introduces Leslie's chair and Joe's couch, and
she sort of shreds.
And then she, she has a relationship to each part of the space, and then she heads up to her favorite spot on the kitchen table, near the open window.
And can you tell us what she does when she is this on top of the open window, or is that giving
Pussy,
too much away?
Pussy does what cats do when they're on a table near anything that can fall off of a table. I live with a cat now who likes to do that every morning. She likes to knock things off the table. And if they happen to go out the window, well, that's even more fun to watch them go down. So.
Okay, some important things go out the window. I'll just say that. It becomes apparent later in the show why they're important. Thank you. But let's seriously talk about the movement. So have you had a cat most of your life? Because many people in the audience told me they're quite impressed at how your movements, you're clearly human, but you've got these movements and, you know, you're acting like a cat in so many ways.
I have definitely been a little bit obsessed with cats my whole life. We finally got one when I was 9. And yeah, that cat was my like buddy, my best friend. We actually had 2 cats. And I spent a lot of time, probably anthropomorphizing the cat, and applying human emotions to her. But yeah, some of my best friends are cats.
Well, I'm a cat person, and I kind of wonder, you know, people say, oh, dogs are so much smarter than cats. But I don't think I believe that. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I think those people are basing it on the fact that dogs will do things for them. And I think most cat people feel that the fact that the cat won't do anything for me is...
proves they're smarter.
Yeah, the cat gets me to do things for her. So who's smarter, dogs?
So you've been touring with this in New York, Seattle, most recently London, and is open in San Francisco. Now you're back in San Francisco. Do you get the idea that most audience members assume you're a lesbian because the play is about a lesbian relationship?
Yeah, and I think also because certainly in America, it's more standard to do a solo show that's really autobiographical. I think in Canada, I grew up seeing a lot more solo shows that were just stories like this. But I think in Europe that's more common too. But that was something I talked about with the great guys at United Solo was that the American standard of solo shows is to do a show about yourself, you know, to do a really autobiographical piece. And this is really more of a solo play. This is a story. It's an entirely fictional piece, and none of the characters are me.
Right.
You know, they're. As a writer, of course, I'm drawing on my own experiences, but none of the characters are me per
they're
se.
Not you, but as you alluded to before we actually started recording this, there are some things that perhaps you are considering as these characters develop in yourself.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think there's parts of the characters, and certainly in the landlady character where. I'm exploring my own, you know, predilection to sometimes, you know, once a decade, maybe fall in love with a lady. You know, I certainly would not identify in any way as a queer artist. I think it's really important to say that I'm not a lesbian, and, you know, I'm not trying to slip into any sort of category or, you know, speak with any misappropriation of voice, because I think that's a different history, a different identity. But yeah, definitely there, definitely, especially the landlady character is, except for her homophobia. I mean, I spent, I think, all of my 20s hanging out in gay bars because it was just more fun than the straight bars. So, but I wanted with that character to explore, the system of personal narrative where you block yourself from seeing how you're feeling because, you know, maybe your cultural background has told you that that's not acceptable, and so you just look for any other reason. Like, why are you so interested in the girls upstairs? Well, because you hate them, you know?
Well, she doesn't seem to hate them, though. I mean, there's that clip.
She doesn't hate both of them.
She clearly likes one of them. So I'm curious, in the author's note in the program, you mentioned something here about how this piece grew to explore outsider identities in queer community. And I'm wondering if, like, you know, since you just described yourself as, you know, not wanting to define yourself as a queer artist, and do you consider yourself an outsider in that way, or are you talking about something else entirely there?
I certainly feel like I'm in some sort of, like, shadowy borderland. I'm like the landlady. I'm standing in the garden wondering what that's like, a little bit. I have a lot of lesbian friends, but I think I also wanted to explore, you know, I have friends who are politically conservative and are lesbians, and that is difficult for them to find their place in the community.
Which is a little bit what Leslie's going through, right? She's
yeah.
this conservative Christian.
She's
devout.
A conservative Christian, you know, socially conservative for sure, you know, financially conservative. And she's trying to figure out where that puts her in the queer community, which tends to lean the other way, let's say. And then the identity of someone who's, you know, not fully anything, or maybe it's just I think I was saying before, sort of at the ultraviolet end of the spectrum, where she's just, you know, not really visible on the spectrum, but is still there, still has those feelings, and maybe if she could come to terms with that, Maybe that's where true love lies for her. Who's really to say? But it's been interesting that not 100% of people actually see that in that character, mm-hmm. Especially people who don't have a lot of queer friends and haven't sort of personally been involved with the community. They just don't see that tendency in the Russian lady.
And is that, you know, as opposed to, like, San Francisco's audiences are probably much more gay than they are in New York.
Yeah,
or they
actually,
were in
which
Seattle too.
Or... That was a surprising thing to me. It was New York where I started to realize that not everyone saw that in the character. I didn't want to write the character any closer to that truth than she is, because I really wanted her to be someone who was like who was before recognizing that, because I just hadn't seen that as a female character before. Mm-hmm. So
your English accent was well received in London, and you were perhaps worried, or were your friends worried for you?
A couple of my actor friends there were just like, oh, you can't do a British accent in front of the British. And so I was really worried. And I was also worried that, you know, the villain of the piece, I guess if you want to call her that, is British. And I was, you know, I was going into a catastrophe spiral of like, they're going to hate me. They're going to.
But they liked you.
But they really liked it. And maybe part of it was, you know, a couple of people told me afterwards they actually thought that I was British until the end of the play, because I'm always in one dialect or another. So maybe I got away with it a little bit until the end of the play, because they thought I was British, so they maybe thought the character was satirical. I'm not sure.
Was there a plan?
It was magical.
How did you pick the character's nationalities? Was there a particular reason behind that?
It was more just the dialects that I could sort of do. In Canada, we get a lot of British culture, so a lot of British TV. So I've sort of always been able to do a British accent pretty well. I have some Russian Mennonite heritage. And so I had some sense of Russian culture. And I was also trying to pick a cultural background where you could just be sort of unconsciously still be, you know, sort of unconsciously homophobic, because there's just been a lot of stuff out of, you know, I don't know if you've been following the news out of Russia, but...
there's been some stuff going on.
There's been some stuff, so...
You know, time has flown by, and I want to thank you, first of all, for being here, and let people know that Pussy is playing at the New Conservatory Theater Center in San Francisco. Open last Friday. It's playing through November 30th, Sunday, right?
Correct.
And go see it, because it's fun. And I do want to ask you, you've got a new project in the works. Do you want to talk about that, you know, like...
Sure.
For 30 seconds?
Sure, you bet. I'm working on a new play by Patricia Milton. It's going to be at Central Works in early 2015.
Fantastic. You've been listening to Out of the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. My guest is Maura Halloran, who's starring in all four roles of Pussy at New Conservatory Theater Center in San Francisco. Find out more info at nctcsf.org. Yes, that's right, nctcsf.org. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. Theme music. It's not in the place it usually is. If you missed part of this broadcast, you can hear the whole thing on our website, outinthebay.org. It should be up by about 8 o'clock tonight. You can also sign up there for free podcasts and get the Stitcher app. That's right, Stitcher, that lets you hear radio programs on mobile devices. Support for Out in the Bay comes from many individual donors, including Brad Payton and Richard Merck of Portola Valley. Please join them by contributing online at outinthebay.org or by mailing a check payable to Out in the Bay, care of KALW, 500 Mansell Street, San Francisco, California, 94134. Let us know if you'd like us to thank you or your business on the air, and we'll gladly do so. That, again, is outinthebay.org. Out in the Bay is independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. We'd love to hear from you with segment suggestions, general comments, and questions. So write to us, eric@outinthebay.com and marilyn@outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening.